sing, because I'm free. His eyes, they're upon that sparrow. Oh, and I know, yes, I know, he watches over me.
UMFM 101.5 broadcasts at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the original lands of the Anishinaabeg, Nahiwak, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation.
Thank you. right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 52nd Street, Winnipeg's home of classic jazz. My name's Jay. We are live on a Sunday night right here in 52nd Street at the University of Manitoba, and we're doing a swing show tonight. And a bit of an early swing show, actually. And none of the songs that you're going to hear come after 1940. In fact, most of them are their mid-1930s. And we're just going to play just the early swing, just the music that influenced the swing era. And we're going to talk a little bit about some groups. We're going to play tonight, for example, we'll hear from Jimmy Lunsford. We're going to hear from other groups that are a little bit less well-known and talk about sort of the style, right? And so when we think of the swing era, we think of the big band era. They're not necessarily the same thing. The big band era played swing, but it also played some more pop music. But the big bands during the time were incredibly well orchestrated. And we just heard from Benny Goodman in the song that broke the swing era in 1935 called King Porter Stomp. But there's a history that goes behind it. And so there's this build-up of these orchestras, and whether it's Duke Ellington's orchestra in Harlem or others in that Harlem ballroom scene that just became bigger and bigger and bigger to create this big sound so that you could fill these massive 10,000-person ballrooms and people could dance. And the orchestrations became more complicated as well. And then, of course, from that, we get down to sort of the breakaway swing combos. And then, of course, from that into bop. And all of it's related. In fact, tonight we're going to hear one of Charlie Parker's favorite alto saxophone players. But before we get all there, let's go back to some really basic kind of roots. We're going to hear three songs that exemplify what early swing sounded like. We're going to start off with Louis Armstrong, his orchestra. Now, Louis Armstrong is perhaps better known for his work as a solo player, as an ensemble player, a small group player. But this is Louis Armstrong's orchestra playing Stardust. Then we're going to head to Kansas City. And actually, this is in Kansas City, this recording. Benny Moten and his Kansas City Orchestra, featuring Count Basie. When Benny Moten dies, Count Basie takes over the band, and the Benny Moten Band becomes the Count Basie Band. So this is a very, very early version of the Count Basie Band. And then after that, we're going to hear from Fletcher Henderson and Down South Camp Meeting. Now, New Orleans / Chicago / New York is Louis Armstrong. He played a little bit with Fletcher Henderson's band, and Fletcher Henderson's band was the big band in the late 1920s, early 1930s. They were the Harlem Band. They're the band everybody wanted to be in. They produced a number of incredible musicians, including the great Coleman Hawkins, who we'll hear from later on, the founding father of the tenor saxophone. Louis Armstrong actually played with them for a little while, so it's interesting to know what they took from each other. There's just sort of the famous story of Louis Armstrong getting laughed at by the musicians because of the way he dressed, but then when they heard him play, they stopped laughing. And at the same time, hearing that sort of sophisticated Harlem style would have certainly impressed Louis Armstrong and made an impression on him. So here's some very early national examples of what big band jazz sounded like, what the early swing era sounded like. So starting again with Louis Armstrong and his orchestra with Stardust, after that jumping to Kansas City with Moten Swing, and then Down South Camp Meeting with Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra, among the very first of the big bands, all right here on 52nd Street.
Baby, oh, I know, dreaming of a song melody. memories, and I'm once again with you. When a love was new, always, each kiss an inspiration, baby. That was long ago. Now my consolation, it's in the stardust of a song, beside a garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my arms, baby. The nightingale tell is very real. A paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, oh baby, in my heart it will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love refrain, mama, love refrain.
Oh, there you go. Three in a row from the early masters of jazz, early swing era, and early big bands. We start off with Louis Armstrong and Stardust. A little bit of Louis singing and, of course, his great trumpet playing, which is really what held that band together. After that, we heard two in a row. We started off with Benny Moten from Kansas City, the band that would become Count Basie's band. We're going to hear from Count Basie's band later, and I'm going to play you a blues song from him, because one of the things that happens is when you heard Moten swing, and it's a great dance song, and it's very syncopated, and when Basie takes over the band, it just lays back. The whole band lays back, and they get really, really bluesy, and they just create a lot of space, and it's a very loose kind of feel, much more so than the Benny Moten band was. And then, of course, Fletcher Henderson with Down South Camp Meeting. One of the important pieces of Fletcher Henderson's band, not only one of the first big bands, they were when credited with being among the first big band arrangers. Don Redman was a longtime arranger for Fletcher Henderson's band, and he's actually being credited as being the first big band arranger. So when you hear the kind of sophisticated harmonies and the things that are happening there, you can understand, number one, what a good band it is, because it's a tight band to be able to play those type of syncopated rhythms and that kind of piece. And number two is very sophisticated. And so, in fact, when Henderson's band broke up, Benny Goodman bought the book, bought the arrangements, and a lot of those arrangements went on to become big hits in the swing era for Benny Goodman. One of the great tragedies of Fletcher Henderson's band, he did very well for himself in New York. They were a big band in New York. They played a lot of dance halls and had regular gigs, made records, all those types of pieces. But as an African-American band, they just didn't break. They didn't have the popular success. And it's tragic, because what you just heard is as good a band as any that you'll hear tonight, period. And in fact, many would tell you that's probably the preeminent band of its era. You know, it's terrible to look back and see these artists so overlooked. We're going to hear a little bit later on from Jimmy Lunsford's band. I'll talk to you about the importance of that band as well. In fact, we're going to get there now. So let's jump ahead. So we're going to hear three bands that have very different kind of pieces to them. We're going to start off with Chick Webb's band, and come back to that in a second. Then we're going to hear from Earl Father Hines. Earl Hines is one of the great piano players in the history of jazz, and he puts together an orchestra, and it's a rocking kind of orchestra, and he plays beautifully all the way through. Never really had the commercial success, had some hit records, kind of toured around, but just couldn't kind of break, and of course he had a long and very successful career. And then we're going to hear from Jimmy Lunsford. Jimmy Lunsford actually had hit record after hit record. In fact, they had their own train car. They toured the country. Incredible success. A very, very polished band. And similar to Fletcher Henderson, in fact, in many, many, many ways influenced by Fletcher Henderson's band. Contingent on a good band, solid performers, but great arranger. And in fact, the arranger in Jimmy Lunsford's band is Cy Oliver, who would later go on to arrange with Tommy Dorsey and become a very successful arranger with Tommy Dorsey, making a number of hits. So we're going to hear from Jimmy Lunsford's band in a second with a song called Organ Grinders Swing. In between, we're going to sandwich Earl Father Hines, with a song called Rock and Rye, which is just a great straight-ahead kind of song. You're going to like it. But we're going to start with a song that's very, very interesting to me. Chick Webb is an almost forgotten history of jazz, in the history of jazz. Almost forgotten footnote, I was going to say, in the history of jazz, but he's not really a footnote. A lot of you will know Chick Webb's band. Perhaps if he had an easier name to say, this would be better for him. But Chick Webb's band became very, very famous because of the song A Tisket, A Tasket, which actually did become a national hit. And that was sung by a very young Ella Fitzgerald. And Ella actually was a minor when she joined Chick's band. I think she was 16 when she joined, and became a star, and they made the Tisket, a Tasket together. But Chick Webb was known to be one of the great, what they call them was hot, swing time drummers. And we're going to play a song of his now to start off the set called Harlem Congo, and it is incredibly rhythmically complicated. And the drumming is absolutely absurd. It's so, so good. But what's interesting about Chick Webb's band is that they, aside from A Tisket, the Tasket, had no other national hits, regional hits, smaller hits, things like that. But they were the band to beat. And so in Harlem, there are certain clubs, ballrooms really, that would have thousands of people dancing. And what they would do is they would have a stage at each end of the hall. And so a band would go up and play for 45 minutes, then they'd take a rest, and the other band would go up and play. And this way the dancers would have continuous music all the way through. So instead of dancing for 45 minutes, having a 15-minute break, the bands got longer breaks. And the dancers could dance all night long, and the bands would go back and forth. And so bands started to battle each other. And there were many, many famous sort of battle of the band type of things happening, and it's more famous perhaps because of the individual musicians. But no one could beat Chick Webb's band. And they were the hot band. They were the band. Jimmy Lunsford's band tried. They came very close. Apparently they were the sort of second band. Benny Goodman's band, at the height of their success, went in and got killed by Chick Webb's band. The musicians were like, we're done, we can't do this. And Chick Webb's band just had something about them. They said when Chick Webb got hot playing live, nobody could touch him. And you imagine the dancers trying to dance to this. Some of you out there are probably dancers. You'll listen to this rhythm and you'll figure out a way to do it. But the complication of the rhythm is actually quite intricate. And so let's jump into it now. We're going to play three in a row. We're going to start off with Chick Webb's band Harlem Congo, which makes perfect sense because they were really the kings of Harlem at that time. Earl Hines with Rock and Rye, and then Jimmy Lunsford, one of the great African-American bands of the 1930s, one of the most successful, with Organ Grinder Swing, all right here on 52nd Street. Thank you. you think? There we had three in a row. We started off with Chick Webb and Harlem Congo. What an incredible drummer he was. What a great band. You can hear why other bands would have had trouble, especially live. A band like that would heat up so quickly when you're driven like that. After that, Earl Hines with Rock and Rye. And then Jimmy Lunsford with a nice little thing to slow us down called Organ Grinder Swing. Three great bands from the swing era as we continue to focus on sort of the early part of the swing era, the early part of the big band era. And not the very early part. We're not in the 1920s, and we'll talk about that another time, but not today. But I hope you're enjoying it so far, because there'll be some songs that you know, some songs that you don't, and a little bit different, right? It's a little bit more of that traditional syncopated kind of sound, and it starts to break in the mid-1930s, and it smooths out a little bit. When Jimmy Lunsford dies, he dies actually on a train in Oregon, just while on tour. His arranger goes to Tommy Dorsey's band, and they start to produce some incredible things. We're going to hear from Tommy Dorsey's band right now, and the song is called Song of India. And it's really, I think, number one, this kind of starting to smooth things out a little bit. There was a sort of a sweeter, smoother stream of jazz that came out of the Paul Whiteman era, and Tommy Dorsey's band fell into that. And, you know, dance music, a little bit more melodic, but don't be fooled, because there's a lot of syncopation, and there's also a lot of sophistication to the rhythms and the harmonies. So we're going to hear from Tommy Dorsey with Song of India, and then Duke Ellington, and a song that actually was written by the trombone player Juan Teasel. The song is called Caravan. I think you're going to like both of them. Here they are right here on 52nd Street.
Thank you.
Hold that one for a second. All right, so we just heard two in a row. We started off with Tommy Dorsey and Song of India. That one just a really good example of just trying to get some different sounds and really getting away from that sort of traditional dance feel. Still a danceable kind of melody there, but taking it to a bit of a different place. And then after that, Caravan by Duke Ellington, which, you heard all the other stuff, and then Caravan comes at the same time, and just someone who's thinking completely differently and still sold a lot of records, which is amazing. There's certain things that just break open the mold, right? And so, and that's probably one of them, where you just kind of take this different sound and just arrange it and make it something that people can listen to, and you're doing something completely different than everybody else. And there was. All right, we're going to continue on with our swing era pieces here. We're going to do Twitter. We're going to start off with a band that is probably not known to you. Andy Kirk, and better known as Andy Kirk and his 12 Clouds of Joy, for those of you who are fans. Andy Kirk had a great band, and never sort of hit, sort of a regional kind of thing, sort of a little bit of a national flavor, but never really massively popular. He actually had a really good tenor saxophone player named Dick Wilson, who was considered to be one of the great tenor saxophone players of the swing era. He died early, and Andy Kirk's band kind of broke up a couple of years later. But they had a good following and sort of a national reputation, stronger in the Midwest, in the Northeast and other parts of the country, but a good band all around. We're going to hear from them and a little song called Little Joe from Chicago, which is just kind of a fun one. And then I told you a little bit about when Count Basie took over the Benny Moten Band. We're going to hear from Count Basie. We're going to get right into just a really good blues. And yes, it's going to feature the great Jimmy Rushing, Mr. 5x5 himself, with that blues shouter style, the greatest example, I think, of the blues shouter style of singer. But more importantly, yes, they're playing the blues, but listen to how loose this band is. Don't get me wrong, they're tight, but there's so much space and they're so far behind the beat, and it creates such an incredible tension. So if you listen for that, and you listen for that piece, that band that's just kind of bringing it in a little bit late and just kind of keeping it loose, and it still works really, really well. So we're going to hear from Andy Kirk and his 12 Clouds of Joy, Little Joe from Chicago, and then Count Basie with Sent for You Yesterday and Here You Come Today, right here on 52nd Street. Thank you.
makes you know he's nobody's fool.
Think, don't the moon look lonesome shining through the trees? Little Jimmy Rushing, Mr. 5x5 himself, with that version of Sent For You Yesterday, and Little Joe from Chicago. A song that nobody knows and probably nobody remembers, but just kind of a fun song. Dick Wilson on the tenor saxophone, part of Andy Kirk's 12 Clouds of Joy. I'm having trouble tonight. All right, coming up next, we're going to hear, I promised you I'd play you actually one of the influences of of Charlie Parker. And so I'm going to do that right now, actually. Tommy Dorsey, we played earlier in the show. And I'm going to say this. This is the first time, by the way, that I played both brothers in the same show. Tommy Dorsey, the great trombone player, had a brother, Jimmy Dorsey, a lesser-known brother. They both were very good musicians, technically. And they moved to New York together and became studio musicians. And then actually formed a band together called the Dorsey Brothers. But because of fights, like literal fist fights, the band broke up. And Tommy Dorsey went on to great success with his band. And Jimmy Dorsey actually had a very good band and had a bunch of success and a bunch of sort of dance tracks and numbers with his band as well. And it's interesting because I think we talk about Tommy Dorsey a little bit more on this show, probably because of the musicians he had through his band and you know, the person that discovered Frank Sinatra. So he has a bit of a different kind of place in the evolution and history of jazz. Jimmy Dorsey, though, can't be overlooked. And he played the clarinet, he played the alto saxophone, was a studio musician, and had a very good band for many, many years, a number of hits. And sort of alternated between the sort of sweet schmaltz of dance kind of music and some more technical pieces. We're going to play with the more technical ones. Now, listen, the song is called Dusk in Upper Sandusky, which I'm sure is wonderful. But wanted to mention one thing. One of the things that we almost always overlook is that Charlie Parker often cited Jimmy Dorsey as being an influence on him. And I think you're going to see why. Take a listen. Oh, there you go. Could you hear it? Can you hear how light he was? It's almost like he's floating over the instrument on the alto saxophone. Like it's so quick. It's really actually it's really hard to follow along with. But the other pieces, I honestly feel like he floats. Like he's just floating above the notes and sort of touching the pads every second or third time. Very, very light, incredible technique. And you can, when you hear him and then you hear Charlie Parker, you sort of go, oh yeah, that sort of makes a bunch of sense. That was Jimmy Dorsey with Dusk in Sandusky, which, again, like so many of his things are on the hit parades. If you look back in the old sort of hit parades, you'll see Tommy Dorsey and Jimmy Dorsey and all of these songs that we've sort of lost now in history, but the musicianship is there. All right, I'm going to go a little off the beaten path for this last one. So we've been playing early swing and some great swing all the way through, and we're going to end tonight with just a slow pulled-out blues. Teddy Wilson on the piano, Chu Berry on the tenor saxophone, Roy Eldridge on trumpet, Sid Catlett on drums, and Izzy Crosby on the bass. Just a great little group. And they're doing a song called Blues in C sharp minor. And I absolutely love this song. I played it on the show before. It's slow. It's got this incredible bass line. And Chu Berry, who was considered one of the top three tenor players during the swing era, gives a beautiful kind of performance. And he died actually in a car accident in 1941 while he was touring with Cab Calloway. But I think when you listen to this, you can see the direction he was going, and probably we were robbed of many, many years of progress and development by a great musician. So until next week, next Sunday night at 8, this is Jay saying take it easy. Don't forget to support your local jazz scene. Have a great week. Here now, Blues in C-sharp minor by Teddy Wilson. Good night.
No Fun Club is just what you think. It's a place that hates fun. It's also a world-class recording studio. You can come record your music. You'll get in the zone. It'll sound great. And you know, it might be tempting to have fun, but we can't allow it. We have an amazing gear collection, tape machines. We have modern computers. We have chandeliers and couches. We have a kitchen and multiple recording environments of various sizes and acoustic properties. The one thing we don't have is fun, and we never will. No compromises, no fun.
And no problem.
Winnipeg, can you feel it? That restless, low burn chaos humming under everything. Mannequin Pussy turns it into something loud, beautiful, and impossible to ignore. Touring their explosive new record, I Got Heaven, they crash between searing punk and vulnerable pop, a full body release that's earned love from Pitchfork to NPR. Tickets available now through Ticketmaster. Come scream it out with Mannequin Pussy on Sunday, September 13th at the Burton Cummings Theater with local phenoms Show Pony opening the night. Proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
May 30th at the Port